Hello, and welcome to Little Victories, the podcast. My name is Kathy Brophy, and I'm so glad you're here. The inspiration for this podcast comes from a conversation I had many years ago with my dad. I was actually in my late 20s, going through a really rough time, trying to share something that I was struggling with. And my dad stopped me mid-sentence and said, "Kath, it's okay. I already know." And I said, "Dad, how do you know?" And he said, "When you love someone, you pay attention." My hope is to bring regular, ordinary people, amazing people, that are winning battles that we know nothing about, in the hopes that my listeners can maybe find a connection, a takeaway, and create little victories in their own lives. So let's get to it. Hello and welcome. So glad you're here. I'm with my niece, Heidi, who's cracking up right now. We are actually sitting in a hotel room in Princeton, New Jersey. And I said, "Hey, let's go do a podcast." And she's like, "Okay."
Hi, Heidi. So here we are. Hello.
Yeah. So like I start every episode, I'm going to ask Heidi that question, and then we're going to get into who is Heidi Turner. So, Heidi, if you were to walk into a room and you could pick one song that would play every time you walked into that room, what would it be?
"Virginia Beach" by Drake.
Can you say, is that just the song right now? Has it been the song for a while? Why that song?
It's been the song since it came out, like last month. I just like the vibes. It's very like pretty and upbeat, and I like the melody of it. So if I were to walk in a room, that's the song I'd like to be played.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you actually kind of just found out about this podcast. We were downstairs in the lobby hanging out, and you knew a little bit about it. And I said, "Let's go up and do one." You're like, "Okay." So maybe tell the listeners, you know, a little bit about who you are, as much as you want to share, and then we'll kind of get into some other things, some specific things, like kind of what you're doing now, and maybe a little bit about what it took to get to where you are right now.
Okay, so I am 23 years old. I'm from Lawrence, where my aunt Kathy's from and my mom's from. I moved to Philadelphia, where I work. I just graduated nursing school in January and have been a nurse since February. So it's coming up on 9 months. So I've been kind of adjusting to life in another state away from like family and friends. And it's been really nice, actually. I'm like a distance away to have my own space, but then like close enough to see everyone I love. I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I am right now.
So let's back up a little bit. So last year when you graduated, was that like February, January?
It was January, end of January.
Okay. End of January. I was actually down here and I saw you graduate. I went to your pinning ceremony.
You did.
Which was, gosh, one of the most like beautiful things.
Right.
And it looked just from, I knew it was meaningful to me and I know it was meaningful to you.
Yeah.
But for all your classmates that were graduating, mm-hmm. you could feel in the room and like all the people that were supporting them, their loved ones. Right.
Yeah.
So, maybe talk a little bit. Have you always wanted to be a nurse?
I've always wanted to work with kids. I knew since I was in high school, I always wanted to do something regarding like taking care of children. And then over time, it kind of like fell into my lap. I've always been in situations where I'm like taking care of someone and it just feels like right. So I just knew this was the job for me. And so when I knew this is 100% like what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, I like, it was grind time, buckle down, and here we are.
Grind time is an understatement.
Grind time, yeah.
Because you were going to school and for the most part, putting yourself through school.
Yeah.
Working.
Full-time.
Full-time. And then going into clinicals and taking tests, right?
Yeah.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, let's see, was there ever a point when you were in the middle of all that you didn't think you were going to make it through?
No. I knew like like my future like depended on like how hard I worked in school, and that was my way to a better, like, to my own life that I wanted to make for myself. But I knew like there was no option to fail. And at times where I like was discouraged, I just worked 10 times harder. Like I would be in Barnes and Nobles for 8 hours and I'd come home and my sister would be like, oh, so you just worked an 8 hour shift. I was like, no, I studied for 8 hours. So I wanted something really bad. So I worked for it.
So when you said what times when things were discouraging, what were some of the things that might've been discouraging that would maybe be something like, I don't know if I can get through this, but you said you never thought that, but they were discouraging. What were some of those things?
So I would say money is also a big thing because I was adjusting to moving to my own apartment with my sister. And so I was paying rent by myself, all my bills by myself. So learning how to like time manage school and paying bills. And then when my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, I had to put my mind and learn how to put it, when to put it to family and what really matters. And then like when I needed to focus that much harder in school because it was a little harder to get through school with that.
Yeah, so your mom, my sister, Kelly, who for people listening, if you haven't listened to that episode, and it's probably one of my most memorable ones. I mean, and with the feedback I've gotten, it's called Surrender and Live. So it's a few episodes back, and it's my sister's sharing her story and her struggle with mental health, substance use, and breast cancer.
Mm-hmm. Listen to it, guys.
Yeah. So that's right. You were supporting your mom with all that, and then trying to go to school and work and have the funds to do it.
Yeah.
When I was at your ceremony, and they were coming to the award time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be honest, and you know this. I walked in there. We hadn't seen you yet. And I looked at the program. And I was reading the different recognitions. And it was called the
Perseverance Award.
Perseverance Award. I looked at it and I said, Heidi's getting this. Like, I had nothing to go. I said, Heidi's getting this. So it came time. And the professor, the teacher that went up to the podium.
Saved it for last. It was supposed to be third.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she started to read it and she was getting very emotional.
She started crying.
She started crying. And all your friends were in front of me. And all of us had our phones going because no one knew, but we like, it's got to be Heidi.
Yeah.
And then they called your name and the place erupted. And what was that like?
It was really nice. Like knowing that everything that I was dealing with, like at home in such like a secluded space, I didn't really like share with many others. But it was nice to be, you know, recognized that it's hard to recognize yourself when you get through something, but it's really nice to hear when like the professor that presented the award was my favorite professor ever.
Do you want to give her a shout out?
Yeah. Scaletti. She was the best, absolute best teacher. She was so supportive. I came to her one time when I was really, really down, when I was like, I can't study. I can't look at a book right now. I felt like everything was coming, like crashing down at me at once. And I just went to school and I got in and I started crying. And she pulled me into her office and she like had me take a couple deep breaths and I just talked to her. And she's always been so supportive, but she's like the strict supportive type. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice seeing another side of her when I was like really vulnerable. And she's always like had like looked out for me from then on in. And she actually pushed me to do better. She pushed me to like work harder. She would call me out during class, knowing like asking questions. And I knew the answers to them because I knew I would have her and I had to work 10 times harder. But it was really nice getting that award from her. It felt really like right, I guess.
What nursing program did you go through?
I went to Mercer County Community College. I was there for 2 years and it was a great university. I got a great, well-rounded education there. I really can't say anything bad about it. The exams were really hard. The teachers were tough, but that program prepared me to work at CHOP to where I am now.
Yeah. So when you graduated and got, you know, you were pinned that night and then similar to, and I'm not sure if like, I know like doctors, they have their match, right? So mm-hmm. is it similar? Like you have a place that you want to go and, you apply and then you wait to get matched or get a job. Is it like an interview for any other job or?
It's like an interview for any other job. So I applied, I always knew I wanted to work at CHOP and I always knew I wanted to work in PEDS Onco. And then when my mom was diagnosed.
So for people that don't know what PEDS Onco is, you want to say?
Yeah. Children with cancer. Okay. Anyone from like infant to when you're out of the womb to when you're 20, 21 years old. Those are the patient population that I work with. I always knew I wanted to work with kids. And then I always saw the St. Jude messages mm-hmm. and like those like in the mail we mm-hmm. would get those. I've always knew that was just always in the back of my head. And then when my mom was diagnosed, I kind of got to see the other side of, you know, working with the families outside of the patient itself. So it's like a bigger picture. So I always wanted to work there as my first choice. I did get a job in Capital Health, which is like the hospital I was working at as a tech. And there was an open position in a NICU there, and it was like a nice job, well, fair pay. It was like a really convenient, but like I always knew I wanted to work at CHOP. So I would apply to them, and then they would reach back out to me for an interview. And actually, I accepted Capital's offer because I haven't heard back from CHOP. And then the day after I graduated, the day after I got like took my final exam, CHOP reached out to me and I rescinded my offer from Capital and I accepted CHOP. Nice. So that was nice. It felt like meant to be.
And
sure.
So you were talking about, you saw the other side with your mom because you learned about the care team, I guess, and all the people that are involved. So, and you pretty much, when your mom was going through that, you and your sister went and kind of took turns with a lot of the appointments, right? And helped her through all that.
Yeah, we would go to every appointment. Learning, like, you always think of, like, cancer's never affected me personally, like, throughout my whole life. So I never really, like, I knew I wanted to work with cancer patients. But when I got to see it, like, front row, I felt like I needed support. And I felt like my mom's team was really good at, like, answering my questions and like being very comforting to my questions. And I just thought like that's what I would want to be as the healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice having my mom's team. Trusting your doctor and trusting your team like makes the situation much easier, like the hard situation easier.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
So that gave you a picture of what you wanted to do and following through and doing that. So maybe sharing right now, you're in this job, you've been in it for how many months?
Almost nine.
9 months. Mm-hmm. What are the things that are absolutely amazing about your job?
The patients, like seeing like little babies going through like the hardest times and they don't even know it. They're just happy to be playing and they're happy to be like, if you're playing with them, that'll make them happy. Like the kids, I think, are the most resilient. Like this group of patients are like the most resilient people I've ever met. And I feel like I can relate to them in a way where I feel like I am sort of resilient. And I love my job. I love living with like a purpose and feeling I'm doing something bigger than myself and making a difference. And like, even in situations where the families are going through the toughest times in their life, they'll have someone that like was there for them and like comforting them and taking good care of their child or family member. So
you're not sort of resilient. You are resilient. Yeah. You're amazing. Aww. You're amazing. Yeah. So I guess we're kind of going back and forth a little bit, I guess, but what's the most challenging part of your job?
When the kids are too sick to come out of it, when you know, like, inevitably, you know that they're going to pass away. Mm-hmm. That's really hard to deal with. That's something that you don't face in front of them. It's a rare disorder that they're going to pass away from. Mm-hmm. And this is the happiest kid I've ever met. A little kid taking big pills with no problems. Like, he's just an amazing kid. So happy all the time. Doesn't complain. but just seeing how resilient they are in situations where they're going to ultimately face like a hard end to their life. Like they're, I don't know. I would say that's the hardest thing.
Yeah. And then you probably become pretty close with their families. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I do. Like they come visit me. If they're like, if I don't have them as a patient, like they'll pop out, come find me and I'll play with them for a little bit. You get to know these kids because these kids only are going through CHOP and they're very like.
So you mentioned that. So I'm just thinking no matter you go to the best nursing school in the country, but probably there's nothing that can compare you to losing someone, right? A patient.
No.
And so you just mentioned that you can't really show it in front of them. How do you all, or how have you learned to kind of manage that right now when you lose a patient?
My first reaction is usually like taking time for myself to process everything, to give me time to be sad and to grieve them, but then to look at it in a positive direction where like they're not in pain anymore. They're not sick. They're not throwing up. They're not, you know, crying because they're in pain. Mm. They're like at peace. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I feel like if they were still here, that they in another world would be like very thankful for, you know, meeting me and me meeting them and just, I don't know.
So when you're 9 months now of being a nurse on the job, mm-hmm. if you had to pick like the top or a couple of the most important things that you see now when as a part of your job, like what is the most important thing you think you can give to your patients?
Distraction. Like I can distract them from what they're going through. You can, depending on the age of the child, like you can figure out things they like. CHOP has a lot of resources where there's like different music therapies that you can reach out to. Dogs come and see the patients. Ultimately like distracting the kids. Like some kids are too young to understand really what's going on and they just know that, oh, this person's going to come in and prick me mm-hmm. and I'm going to get a medicine that makes me feel yucky and I'm going to throw up. And I'm not going to feel well. But if you give them like their favorite car toy or you like put a tablet on that they like, cause CHOP has tablets that we can mm-hmm. give them. Mm-hmm. Just like distracting them and making it easier for them to kind of go through it. And it also like gives relief to the parents to know that their child's happy in this moment and just cherishing that. Honestly, I would say.
Wow. Yeah. And probably you would not, when you were in school and someone were to ask you that question, that probably wouldn't have been something that you would have thought of, right?
No.
Because it would have been more something like you learn in the books, right?
Yeah.
But you can't learn this in the books.
No, you don't learn that in nursing school. Yeah. That's just who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So as we start to wind down, we haven't rehearsed this at all. So just say whatever
Bear
comes to
me.
Mind. we're gonna say a couple. I'm going to say a statement. I want you to just finish it as
okay.
best you can. Okay.
Okay.
I hope.
I hope I make a difference.
Mm-hmm. One thing I know to be true is.
One thing I know to be true is. There's always lights in bad situations.
Is there anything that you would like to say to any of the important people that have been a part of your journey that might listen to this? That you just want to send a message to before we start to wind down? The people that have helped you get to where you are right now to be this amazing, loving, caring person, human, and nurse.
Stop. So I would like to thank my mom for being there for me and being a mom and dad in one person. Mm-hmm. My sister who went through everything the same as me. We went through a lot together and was always there for me. and my aunt, my Aunt Kathy, who I can call on, and she would come with me in an instant. I remember I called you in so much distress.
Which time?
For real. But the most significant time was when I was so alone and I was so stressed out. I called you and you came the next day. You drove like 5.5 hours and drove down and helped me out when I didn't know who to go to, who to turn. I called you and you drove and showed up. And now look where we are now.
I remember that.
Right?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in between.
There's a lot of stuff in between.
But look where we are is right.
Right? Exactly. So much has been changed since a couple years.
Yes.
I'm thankful for it all.
So here we are this weekend getting to spend time together. We're going to go out to dinner in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get ready to finish this podcast. And as my listeners know, it's a tribute to my father. And when you love someone,
you pay attention.
Thanks.
Amen.
I love you, Heidi.
I love you.